Shema Vetapakta Vimaki Vetapakta. All glories to you, assembled devotees. All glories to you, assembled devotees. All glories to you, assembled devotees. Go with Premananda. Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishtaya Jitave Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Shanti Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gaudavani Pujarini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashyati Deshami. We were discussing yesterday Api Chet Sudaracharo Bhajate Mamanam Vipak Sadureva Samantavya Samyag Vyavasito Husa. Anyone who's engaged in the devotional service of Krishna with full determination is considered a saintly person. That's the qualification. Not simply his any external consideration, even if he's performed the most sinful activities. Krishna also says, what is that? In the fourth chapter? Papebhyo sarvakrittamaha sarvagana plavenaiva vijanam santavishyasi. Yes, yataidhamsi samidhognir pasmasat kuru terjanam. Gyan Agni Sarva Karmani Vasmasat Kuru Te Tata. Transcendental knowledge is so strong that it can completely incinerate all the fuel of sinful activities. Transcendental knowledge is like a fire, and it can burn to ashes as much sinful fuel as you supply. Nahi gyanena sadrisham pavitramiha vidyate. There's nothing so sublime and pure as transcendental knowledge. Api ched asipape bhya sarva bhya sarve bhya papakritta maha sarvam gyana plavenaiva virginam santarishyasi. Even if you're the most sinful of all sinful people, once you're situated in the boat of transcendental knowledge, you can cross over the ocean of material existence. So transcendental knowledge means ultimately pure devotional service. So how it is that people can think that, no, this person's committed a sinful activity, that's it. This is against the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. It may be in line with, as we discussed the other day, Judeo-Christian morality or American jurisprudence or what have you. But according to Bhagavad Gita, even if you're the most sinful person, by devotional service, one can become purified. And that that assertion will be is continuing now today. Mam hi parta vyapashritya yepisyu papayonia striyo vaishas tata shudras tepi yanti param katim. That it's not by birth that this person is born in such and such situation, so that's it. He has to take, if he wants to go back to Godhead, he has to be purified and take another birth. Anyone, kirato hunandra palindapu kasha abhira shumbha Yavana Kshadaya Yenye Chapapa Yadapashraya Ashraya Shudyanti Tasmai Prabhavishnave Nama. Lord Vishnu, Krishna, is so powerful that anyone who takes shelter of his pure devotee can become completely purified and go back to Godhead. Anyone from any part of the world, any sinful community or family, can go back to Godhead. The only qualification is mam vyapashritya, to take shelter of Krishna or Krishna's representative. Here, papa yoni means born of a lower family or born of a sinful situation. Striyo Vaishyastata Shudras. These are all considered unfortunate births. Stri, Shudra, Vaishya. They're lower births. Stri, women, what to say? Why? Well, as I mentioned the other day, what are we supposed to think about people who faint, who paint their faces and toenails? From another point of view, consider that generally women are materialistically inclined. I was on the airplane. There was a little baby. So who wanted to play with the baby? Yeah? The women. You know, the flight attendants, female flight attendants, they were playing with the baby, and, you know, they all wanted to hold the baby and so on. Men couldn't care less. Yeah, they weren't interested. Generally, women are interested in home, family, security, nice, these things. And it's men who can take greater interest in the path of liberation. Now that's the generalization, but that's generally found to be so. Women always suffer. Why are women exploited? Why are women kept down? Why are women? Because they're women. That's the kind of karma that they'll get. They'll always be taken advantage of. They'll always be dependent. Either they'll be dependent or they'll be taken advantage of. Prabhupada gave the example that the man will have sex with the woman and then he'll say, now you have an abortion, or else go beg from the government to maintain your child. Man can enjoy and go away. The woman can't go away. Right? And for so many different reasons, it's considered, according to Vedic, Vedic viewpoint, that the women are less qualified, that they're like children.
The funny is more hard to surrender. Thing.
Hmm?
The funny is more hard to surrender.
No, they can surrender, but their mentality, I don't think their mentality is intelligible to, I don't know if their mentality is intelligible to men at all, and probably not to sannyasis at all, but suffice it to say that they're very different kind of people. They're not simply another version of men. They're put together in a different way altogether. And you know, people just don't get it. They think that they're all equal. But you go over to the Goshala and you look at the cows and you look at the bulls, they're just not the same. And they're just not the same at all. And people don't somehow or other think that when you come to human society, that difference doesn't apply the same way, but it does. Yes. Yes.
Does Prabhupada make any comment on that? Women, or is it just...
Yeah, there's lots of places where he has things to say about women. What does he say? Yeah. It's many places he says less intelligent, that they're like children, that they should be, therefore they should always be protected. Manu also says, that a woman should be protected by her father in youth, by her husband, or father in childhood, by her husband in youth, by her grown sons in old age. Naivam Svatantra Arsi, she should never be independent. We'll get in trouble.
So what about the spiritual world?
Spiritual world, everyone's a woman.
they're the head. You
know. No, Krishna's the head. There's only one enjoyer, Krishna. And everyone else is meant to give enjoyment.
Yeah.
So from that point of view, in the spiritual world, everyone is female. But it's nothing to do with this material female or material male.
Here is just the body?
Yeah. You could be a woman in this life and a man in the next. Man in this life, woman in the next. Woman in this body, a man in the spiritual world. It's not... Body has nothing to do with the spiritual identity. Completely two different things. So... Women and Vaishyas, they're always, Vaishyas are always, where is money, where is money, where is money. And Shudras, less intelligent. And...
Sensual. Sensual?
Well, not sensual, but predominated by ignorance. The Vaishyas are supposed to be in passion and ignorance, the Shudras in ignorance, the women in their own world. So... they're considered Papa Yoni. Isn't there something in Judaism also, I think?
About women?
Thank God that I wasn't born a woman.
There is. They have an emphasis on, you know, men should, men are the leaders.
Yes.
Yeah, it's in the Israeli, it's in the Jewish culture.
It's in Jewish culture, definitely. Jewish and Christian. I think there's some prayer like that, but thanking God that I wasn't born a woman. Yes. If there isn't, we could write it. Yes.
But you're saying all this, like that push for equality, and the word hierarchy, you know, it's interesting because they say even in the Western countries a few hundred years ago, that everyone just like agreed about there was a hierarchy of everything.
Yeah.
Whereas
now it's like people don't get it, you know, that women and men are the same, you know, what you have sex with is just a matter of choice. You know, the world has really gone kooky. It's gone very strange. But this is not peculiar to Vedic culture. It's some very strange culture where they think that men are somehow or other... Excuse me?
In charge.
In charge, and women are meant to be, you know, obedient or subordinate or something like that. This very strange culture from India. But all over the world, this culture, this is actually culture, that people have roles, people have duties, and it fits their constitutional, psychophysical constitution. And things are arranged so that people do the right things. You can bend a woman out of shape and use her for, you know, she can be a general or a, you know, what have you, a big corporate executive, but not without cost to her. Yes.
One of the devotees in Perth was talking to a girl who was coming as a student, interested to find out about Krishna consciousness. And she asked him, what about women and Krishna consciousness? And he gave like, and said something to the effect that, you know, they have their role. You know, like, and it's not that everyone has the same role. They have a role, and it's for them. And she said, actually, a lot of girls now are thinking that we should be more in the home.
Yeah, there were some statistics I saw from... Harvard or something, the number of female graduates who were leaving the corporate world. Either they would do two things. They would either leave the corporate world or they would postpone their entrance into the corporate world. You know, they would get their MBA and then, you know, get married and have children and and take care of the children until the children were like 12 or 14, and then they would enter the corporate world. In other words, they just started changing their priorities, whereas their mothers had been more interested in, somehow or other matching men toe to toe in the world of employment. The daughters had decided that actually their families were more important and that they would want to give more attention to that. Even though they were out there at Harvard, earning their MBA, they somehow or other, I guess being very intelligent Harvard students, figured out that they were women. Now, apart from, and these are all material considerations. According to the body, someone's higher, someone's lower. The idea that everyone's on the same platform materially is so stupid that it's almost beyond belief that people could believe it. That everyone is born equal, that everyone is the same, is so contrary to perceive, to empiric fact, that it's absurd. Some people are born with essentially, with an IQ that you can't even see because it's so low. Others are born with an IQ that's so high you can barely see it. Some are born, like these, football stars with bodies like, trucks, and then skinny little divinity students. Are they on the same level? When you want to go to war, you want an army of divinity students? I mean, they're just not the same as the Arnold Schwarzenegger guys. Everybody's different. There's an immense material diversity and variety. And it's not just equal but different, it's unequal and different. Some are strong, some are weak, some are brilliant, some are stupid, just stupid by nature. Some are, some are mean and nasty, and some are very sweet and nice. There's all these incredible differences, and people want to make somehow or other material equality. It's just the stupidest thing in the world. Or it's deliberate exploitation, whereas some guys who've got money and power promote a system that's all about equality in which they pull the strings.
Communism.
Like communism.
Yeah.
Or like capitalism.
All are equal, but some are more equal than the others.
Yeah, Orwell. It's all about equality. Your vote is very important. Everybody has a right to vote. Everybody... this, that. Meanwhile, 5% of the people have 95% of the wealth. And along with that, 95% of the political power, the say. But they're promoting to the world that everybody's equal and everybody has a...
Yeah, we're equal. We all got a say, In our country, everybody's got a vote.
It's... Anyway.
So if you connect it to this verse, so each one of these people can get Krishna consciousness.
Now we're coming to the real point, that it doesn't matter what your material qualifications are. First thing is that the idea of material equality is just out the window. It's absurd. But spiritual equality is an irrevocable fact. Everybody is spiritually equal, even the animals. They want equality. All men are created equal, and the animals are created to be our food. Where's your equality? That all men are created equal, and the forests are meant for us to chop up and turn into packaging for our products. Everything is meant to be, every living entity is meant to be exploited, but all men are created equal. So the Vedic conception is Pandita Samadarshana. And every living entity is equal. There's no difference between a man or a woman, or a high-class man or a low-class man, between an elephant and a dog and a dog-eater, because everyone is spirit soul. So there's actual equality. And everyone can go back to Godhead. Tepi yanti param gatim. It doesn't matter. One is born in a low family, one is born in a sinful situation, born in a family of demons like Prahlad Maharaj. Doesn't matter. Anyone from any situation, if you take shelter of Krishna, can go back to Godhead. You know, we're thinking American is like of high birth. Forget it. That's, you know, they're like lecha. Lecha means, you know, barbarians. You know, European barbarians. You know, most of the world, barbarians. Although thinking themselves very, you know, sophisticated and there was something I read, I forget what it was, a long time ago, some, you know, during the British Raj, some sophisticated gathering of the elite British people, and some Indian was there commenting and just like saying, I couldn't get over thinking, you know, that all these people clean their rumps with toilet paper. Oh, that's the level of sophistication.
But how I see it is, everybody can get Krishna, but you have to reach him in a different approach.
By devotional service.
Yeah, but the different kinds of devotion. So.
That's all right. Someone may be a scholar for Krishna. Someone's cleaning the temple floor for Krishna. Someone's growing vegetables for Krishna. Someone's, you know, playing the mridanga. Someone's giving the lectures. Someone's doing one thing. The women are not the men. You know, the men are not, having babies and taking care of them. The women are not trying to be what men are. Everybody's got a different role. But Svakarmana tamabhyarcha siddhim vindati manate. By performing their prescribed duties, everyone can attain perfection. Not that we all do the same thing. The spiritual master sees this person is good for this, this person is good for this. Sees how people will be best situated, but the active principle is devotional service. Not that we think, oh, this person is giving a lecture, but this person's only playing the mridanga. Now, this person's writing books, and this person's only making flower garlands. No. Everybody's service, Krishna counts as valuable. It's the sincerity, it's the devotion, it's not the material qualifications. Materially, you must maybe be the most qualified person. The example is there of the yogic Brahmins. You know, high-class Brahmins, you know, top of the heap. But they weren't attracted to Krishna. And their wives, who were, you know, just women, when they heard that Krishna was nearby, they were instantly ready to serve him. So, what's the use of being a big Brahmin and not being attracted to Krishna? Shramevihi kevalam. It's useless. So the material qualification is not the qualification. This is actually the flip side of what we were discussing yesterday. That material disqualification is not a disqualification. You may have performed sinful activities, you may have done this, you may have done that. You take shelter of Krishna, you attain perfection. So it's actually the same thing, that continuing the same idea. It doesn't matter where you were born, what kind of body you got, what situation, everyone can attain the Supreme. Okay, shall we move on? Now Krishna, he's Kim punar brahmana punya bhakta rajarshayastata anityam asukam lokam imam prapya bhajasvamam. But now Krishna is saying to Arjuna that even the most lowly people, the most disqualified people, most people from the most sinful backgrounds can attain me. Then what to speak of the pious Brahmins, the Kshatriyas, the saintly kings, the devotees, what to speak of them? If even the lowliest person, you know, just like we say in America, that even, you know, the farmer's son can be president, then what to speak of the president's son? You know, that any, even a simple guy could become a nuclear physicist. Then what to speak of the son of the nuclear physicist? He has an advantage. He has an advantage. To be born in a Brahmin family, a family in the mode of goodness, basically spiritually oriented, that's an advantage. Now you can blow it. You can be born in a Brahmin family and become a damn rascal. But it's an advantage. To be born in a Kshatriya family, Rajarshi, it's a great opportunity. And people are blowing it royally. They're born in good families and they're becoming dogs and cats. But if they properly use the opportunity, then what to speak of the lower class people, the people who are born in more fortunate births, certainly they can go back to Godhead. So Krishna is encouraging Arjuna, you're coming from a family of Rajarshis, Bhajashvaman. You should be engaged in devotional service. Anityam asukam lokam, in this material world, dukhalayam ashashvatam, temporary and unhappy world, everyone can get out and go back to Godhead. Yes?
It's another comment, but it seems like there's a seed of a radical ideal in the idea that a farmer's son can become the president. But they forget that there are qualifications necessary for the position. It's not an unqualified son of a farmer.
In present circumstances, to be a farmer is the qualification for becoming president. You know, the more you're dull, the more you're... To become an actor now is like... Actor means shudra. The actors are all actors, musicians, they're shudras.
Sports.
Yeah, sports people, actors. You know, these are shudras.
Musicians.
You know, people basically entertain the public.
Painters.
Painters. Yeah, these people who are just hired to entertain. You know, they get up and tell funny stories or, you know... Or play the violin or the kazoo or whatever it is and make people cry or laugh. Or these people are considered shudras. And, you know, they're an asset, but they're shudras. In the Kali Yuga, they become the heads of state. You know, the actors, the weightlifters, the... What? There's a big mosquito. Top of my head. How about that? No, it's because the people who vote for them are easily manipulated. You know, some smart guys will get together and say, wow, here's a great person to, you know, put up for office. Because, you know, he's an actor, or he played Krishna in the movies, or the son of a president, or the wife of a president. You know, whatever. Real qualifications don't matter. It's all about, you know, impressions.
There's much in the show window and less in the stock.
Yeah, a lot in the
stock room.
Yeah, more in the show window, less in the stock. Okay. Yeah, thank you. Manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru. Mami Vaishasi Yuktvaivam Atmana Matvarayana. So here's the conclusion of the chapter, that one should become a devotee of Krishna, one should always think of Krishna, one should offer obeisances and be engaged in the worship of Krishna. Translation note, the old edition doesn't say become my devotee. Old edition, engage your mind always in thinking of me, offer obeisances and worship me, completely absorbed in me, sure you will come to me. Bhava Madhbhakta is not there in the superior first edition. Yes?
I want to ask, first he said Manmana and then Madhbhakta. Mm-hmm. But for me, I can say, like for example, now I am dressed like devotee and so on, but still it's difficult to think of Krishna. But here Krishna is saying first Manmana and then.
I don't know that there's a chronological order intended. Of course, if you never think of Krishna, how will you become a devotee? First you have to think of him, and then you have to think, wow, I think I'll surrender to him. But Manmana, the mind should be focused on Krishna. Bhavamadbhakta, one should become Krishna's devotee. Madhyaji, worship Krishna. And Mam Namaskuru. This couplet, or this line, is repeated twice. It comes again in the 18th chapter, indicating its importance. But this is the message of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna doesn't say emphatically that you give up all everything else and just become a jnani. He recommends that we should develop knowledge, but the essence is that one should become his devotee and go back to Godhead. Mami vaishasi yuktvaivam atmanam matparayana. Matparayana, absorbed in thinking of me, devoted to me. Aishasi, mam aishasi, you'll come to me. Clear, to the point, unmistakable, and still people don't get it.
So this is why it's called the most confidential noise?
Yeah, because people don't get it. Even though it's right there, they don't get it. I should also add, in the commentary it's said, is stated in the Kurma Purana as quoted by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Saraswati Goswami, in his Anubhasha comments on the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Deha Dehi Vibhedo Yam Neshrade Vidyate Kachit. This means that there's no difference in Krishna, the Supreme Lord, between himself and his body. Srila Prabhupada personally wrote to me after the Bhagavad Gita was published and told me, or maybe it was before, but anyway, he wrote to me, before it was published, and said, in such and such purport, please insert this statement. So, afterwards, he said, please insert this. Because this is the material, this is the idea. Particularly, Prabhupada used to quote, there's some commentator on Bhagavad Gita who he translates this verse very nicely, and then begins by saying, it's not to Krishna that we have to surrender, but to the unborn something or other within Krishna. So Prabhupada specifically brings in this quotation to indicating that anyone who thinks like that is a fool. Deha Dehi Vibhed means difference between the body and the person who has the body. Deha Dehi Vibhed Oyam Na Ishure Vidyate Kuchit. In the Ishra, the Supreme Lord, there's never any such distinction. That is a nonsense commentator. Any questions? Yes?
We know that spiritually we all Krishna's devotees.
Yes.
So, what Krishna really means by saying, become my devotee?
Everyone's a devotee. Just like someone says, be a man. Yeah. Everybody's a man. You know, you're half the world, you're all men. But somebody's, you know, like someone's running away from the battlefield. Say, be a man. Person, I'm already a man. Yeah, you're a man. What are you running away from the battle for? So Krishna says, get out of here, punk. Krishna says, be a devotee. Everyone's already a devotee by constitution, but we're forgetting our constitution, so Krishna has to remind us, be a devotee. Hare Krishna. Any other questions? Yes.
I wanted to ask about this Akichet Sudharachala.
Yes.
So we heard what Krishna is saying about such kind of person.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking, if someone is engaged in devotional service, but his fall down is not it's planned.
It's planned.
Yeah. So in this case, how Krishna is looking at
it? Planned, you know, every fall down is to some extent planned. You know, 5 minutes before he says, okay, I'm going to go for it. Somewhat it's 5 minutes, somewhat it's 5 days. Somehow or other, the intelligence becomes bewildered, and he thinks, let me go for it. You know, next time I pass the coffee shop, the hell with it, I'm just going to have, you know, coffee and donuts. Some plan is there. If only for a short interval. Of course, that's not good. Sinful activity is not good. Whether thinking about it, planning for it, doing it, hiding it, justifying it, none of this is good. But still, it doesn't mean that a person can't be a devotee. That a person can't be a devotee. Kshipram bhavati dharmatma. You know, he planned for it, he did it, then he thought, oh my God, what did I do? You know, I'm the stupidest jerk in the world. You know, what have I done? Even though he planned for it, after he does it, then he thinks, oh my God. So if he is genuinely a devotee, even if he plans to do something sinful, and even if he does it, afterwards he'll think, no, I've made a great mistake. I've blown it. I have to dedicate myself to come back to the stand.
And what is the meaning of these words of Shri Prabhupada? This verse only refers to accident due to a strong power of material connection.
Yeah, accidentally. Accidentally means that we discussed that there's a cross, his material life and his spiritual life, instead of going parallel, cross one another. So then, you can say by accident, exactly, yes, accidental means that there are different stages. You know, best thing is simply you didn't even think about it, you just did something stupid. Then somebody, you know, he actually thought about it and did something stupid. Someone else, you know, not only thought about it, but schemed and then did something stupid. But any of them can come back to their senses and say, what got into me? What was that? That was mine.
All of them, again, they regret.
Yeah, they regret it. Best is the person who just, you know, didn't think about it, just somehow or other got caught off guard. Lower than that, the person who actually thought about, you know, planned for it. But anyone can be redeemed by the power of Krishna consciousness if he's determined to serve Krishna. Yes.
One may even plan and think that it will get right back on track, but then find out that it takes a lot longer.
That's deliberate.
That's namnat balad yasyahi papavudhi. That's greatest offense against the holy name. But because I'm a devotee, I can do this and then neutralize, you know, I'll just, Krishna says, kripram bhavati dharma, so that's what I'll do. I'll be sinful and then I'll just snap right back. And it won't, you know, it'll hardly touch me. That's the worst. That's like, you know, Jesus has died for our sins, so such a great sacrifice shouldn't go in vain. Yeah, I mean, generally, it's our old demons that catch up with us. Prabhupada said that one time when he was explaining this verse, early days. Brahmananda Prabhu was our temple president. Prabhupada explained this verse by saying that even if you see Brahmananda walking down the street smoking a cigarette, still you have to consider him saintly. So that's there, and we know people who are, you know, their nature is really bad, but this redeeming quality they have, that they're completely devoted to Prabhupada or completely devoted to Krishna. You can't get that out of them. They're more saintly than people who've lived, you know, a pious life and never devoted themselves to the service of the Lord. But yes, generally one is because of previous habit or because there's some sinful seed in the heart and it's not eradicated. So we see that people do those things that were there because of their background. It's not completely eradicated. But then, again, they come back. Anything else? Yes? Time for a break. Okay. End of the chapter, take a short break, and we'll come back and see what chapter 10 is about.
So we will continue with chapter 10?
Yeah, right now. Yeah. 5 minutes.
But Marge is leaving earlier. I don't know when he finished the whole thing, but the exam now is only the one.
No, we just continue. I don't know, maybe we'll even have classes during the 1 week break. Huh? I don't know, Maharaj is leaving early.
He said 1 week earlier.
1 week earlier is?
In February.
In January.
January.
Okay, not now. I thought he would live after this break time for the half course.
Just people, only they see people in the
Western.
Yeah.
If you know, so many Indians look up to Israelis.
Mm-hmm. gone through a lot. But still you're coming to India. So you might attract them. You know, and I just say I was in the army, did all these fantastic things, but I want Krishna. You know, maybe
I was also believing you are more legal somehow.
You know,
I
mean,
still have
a fighter.
Well,
I tell them the real fight is
it's better to say I tried and I was disappointed. I'm after this. Because they think if you are in the Western world, you can be
from the market.
Because of the good standards, or because of the money, because of everything to say. But if some Western tell them, okay, I get all this, I get the money, I get all the everything, but still.
What is it about this place today that's got the mosquitoes coming out?
When I listen to you, I listen.
That I wouldn't mind.
But they want to eat at the
they
same time.
They
want
to yeah, listen and eat at the
they
same
want
time.
To enjoy everything. Get the whole thing.
Yeah, the whole thing. Am I sitting closer to the tree today than I guess?
You can move a little bit.
Maybe that's... Okay.
What's the meaning of Pranam, man?
I don't think it'll make much difference.
So what do you think? I think it would be good to
I don't have an opinion. Could be. Won't be bad, I mean, going out. I've never been there. Confluence of the Ganga and the Bay of Ganga. It'd be exciting. If you're looking for an exciting... Huh? You'll be very much engaged.
Doesn't make very much sense in this 259 the translation.
What's the problem?
The second sentence. But kissing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste is fixed in consciousness.
Mm-hmm. What's the question?
Maybe it should be but by kissing or
grammatical. Yeah.
Always thinking of it.
Okay, let's go.
Hey.
Haribol.
Haribol.
Look at that guy. That's not a mosquito, that's something. Okay, you're in charge of also watching for the mosquitoes and alerting me if they have to chase them away. Where is he now? Ran away, okay. How come they're attracted to me and not to Shariputra?
Looking for Guru.
I think I put great mercy that set him up. Except in my water every morning and drinking.
I see. Okay, we're beginning chapter 10, as promised. Excuse me? I can't hear you. I already explained that I'm not keyed to the exam. What the examiners do and...
After he's finished, Atul Krishna, the guru is going to do that.
Yeah, what all happens with exams and everything like that? It's another world. Presumably, if you've attentively attended this class, you'll do fine on your exam. Depending on what kind of exam they put together, of course. Sometimes exams get a little funky. But I'm not going to think about the exams. I'm going to be happy that you're going to have to suffer your way through the exams. One feels happy to see the suffering of others. But we are going to press ahead. For the reason I've explained earlier, that we're not going to have, we're losing like a week when I'm not going to be here. So we're going faster. This chapter is called the Vibhuti Yoga chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Vibhuti means specific opulences. V means particular, specific. So in this chapter we'll hear about the specific opulences of the Lord, the Vibhutis of the Lord.
What is opulence?
Huh? Vibhuti. Vibhuti means particular glories, particular opulences, particular features, outstanding features of the Lord. Vibhuti. Particularly as he's manifest in this material world. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Bhuya Eva Mahabaho Shinume Padamam Vachaha Yatte Hum Priyamanaya Vakshami Hitakamyaya. Desiring your welfare, Hita, my dear Arjun, because you're very dear to me, Priyamanaya, I'll speak to you again, giving you further understanding. Name vidu suragana prabhavamna maharshayaha aham adirhi devanam maharshinam chasarvasha. The devas and the rishis, the demigods and the great sages, hardly understand Krishna. Why? Krishna came before they did. You know, what do you know about the birth of your great-grandfather? You weren't around. So none of these sages, none of these demigods, none of these, no one was there as the predecessor of Krishna to be present and understand the origin of Krishna. Because Krishna has no origin. Aham adirhi devanam maharshinam chasarvasha. He is the origin of all of these demigods and sages. Again, for those who are worshipping the devas, Krishna says, Aham Adir hi Devanam. Emphatically, I am the source of all these devas. Why not go to the source? Aham Adi. Govindam Adi. He's the source of everything. Janmadyasya. Any questions here so far?
Great sages, they don't know Krishna?
No, even the great sages. Muyanti yat suraya. Even the demigods are bewildered. And even the great sages. They study Vedic literature. They discuss among themselves philosophical and intellectual topics. Why sit there? Okay, all right. They discuss philosophical and intellectual topics, but they can't understand Krishna, only by devotional service.
So sages are not...
Sage means philosopher. Rishi means philosopher. Yes.
The book is badly superior to the demigods and the sages because Krishna comes from within their heart, give them understanding of who he is.
The devotees, yes. Because they can understand. But the sages and the demigods, they'll stay in this material world. But the devotees will go back to Godhead.
What does Krishna mean when he says, you explain something, the knowledge is better than before?
Loud.
What is, yeah. He does it a few times, I think, in the Gita. He says, now I will explain the knowledge better than what I ever said before.
Yeah, paramam. Here he simply says supreme, actually. Supreme word, supreme instruction.
That ninth chapter was supposed to be there.
Well, you know, like Prabhupada says, you know, this is the best. This is also the best.
Best of the best.
Best of the best. But here, paramam simply means supreme. Paramam bacha, my supreme word. My superior word. Does Baladev or Vishwanath say anything about Paramam? Let's see. Yes, he simply says that they're superior to what I've said previously. But doesn't explain why it's superior. But he does. Let's see if this side there's something about that. By hearing these topics, we'll increase our devotional service. Our love for Krishna. Okay. Yomam ajamanadim cha veti loka maheshwaram asam mudha samartyeshu sarva papai pramuchyate. Again, Krishna is speaking of his transcendental nature. Ajam. For Krishna, there's no birth. Devaki janmavado. He's said to be the son of Devaki. But actually, for Krishna, there's no birth. Aja. Ajam and anadi. He has no beginning. Anadir, adir, Govinda. And Loka Maheshwara. He's the supreme controller of all the planetary systems. So, Asamudha, such one who knows Krishna factually without being bewildered, samartyeshu, among, here it says, undiluted among men, but martyeshu means among those who are meant for death, those who are subject to death. This is the world of death, martyaloka, but in this world, those who are not bewildered, who know Krishna as he is, sarva papai pramuchyate, they're freed from all sins. Any questions?
Is translation and the other Gita is different?
Different? I'll take a look. For text 3? For text 1 it's different. No. Same.
Could Maharaj completely free from all sins means that they are liberated?
Yeah.
That's the meaning.
Liberated from sins?
But also material as well.
If you're freed from sins, you're pure. If you're pure, you're liberated.
Means you're free from lust.
Huh?
Means you're free from lust.
Yeah, freed from everything. You're freed from all sins. All sins.
Just the beginning.
It's pretty good. Okay, we're moving on. Buddhir Gyanam Asam Moha Kshama Satyam Tamashamaha Sukham Dukham Bhavo Bhavo Bhayam Cha Bhayam Eva Cha Ahimso Samata Tushtis Tapo Dhanam Yasho Yashaha Bhavanti Bhava Bhutanam Mate Eva Pratag Vidha. These various qualities are all coming from Krishna. Matta eva pratagvita. They're all... Krishna is the origin of all these qualities. And Prabhupada explains each of them. Whatever we find, good or bad, the origin is Krishna. Nothing can manifest itself in this material world which is not in Krishna. That is knowledge. Although we know that things are differently situated, we should realize that everything flows from Krishna. That's the summary. Are there any questions about any of these?
Yeah, I don't understand. If I'm angry.
That's there originally in Krishna. Every morning we're seeing Lord Nrisimhadev. You're only a little angry. He is immensely angry. Yeah, because Krishna has unlimited anger, we have a little bit of anger. Which also is misdirected. You know, we get angry at the wrong people.
In the spiritual world, we still have these qualities.
Yeah, anger can manifest itself in the spiritual world also. But the anger there is pure. The anger is manifest in connection with love of Krishna.
Yeah.
That's all.
But still, because even in the spiritual world, the part and parcel of Krishna, the origin is Krishna.
Yeah. Just like the gopis are getting angry, that Krishna is stealing our butter. But that anger is actually an expression of their transcendental love.
And in the material world, if we have the desire, but if it happens, so Krishna is making it, the Paramatma is making it happen. So in the spiritual world, we have desires.
Everything is happening only by Krishna's...
Only by Krishna. Even in the spiritual world.
Yeah, especially in the spiritual world. Here it's happening by the Department of External Affairs. Maya is arranging everything here. There it's directed by the Department of Internal Affairs. Yoga Maya.
But we still have free will.
Yeah. Sure. But it's used properly. Any question on any of these items? Fear is there. Krishna's been captured by the Kaliya serpent. Everyone's in fear that Krishna may die. Yashoda's afraid that Krishna may fall into the Jamuna. He may be bitten by some monkey. There's fear. But that fear is in relation to love of Krishna. It enhances the taste of love for Krishna. Yes. Krishna is infamous. He runs away from the battlefield. He steals. He's very infamous.
Does Krishna...
Temple in Gujarat.
Does Krishna feel sad?
Huh?
Does Krishna feel sad?
Krishna feels sad. Yes, he feels sad for the living entities who turned away from him. Yeah. He doesn't get into depression, you know.
Taking pills and...
Yeah, no.
Prozac.
Yeah, there's no Prozac in the spiritual world. No need. Any other question on any of these items? I'm going to let you, on your own, read the explanations of what each of these items are. But the essential point is that they all come from Krishna. Krishna is not just one-sided, he's all-sided. So everything that's here is originally in Krishna, but it's in its pure form. Maharshaya saptapurve chatvaro manavastata madbhava manasa jata yesham loka ima prajaha. This further illustrates the point that Krishna made earlier, that I'm the origin, they don't know me because I'm the origin of them. I'm the origin of the great sages. There are supposed to be seven sages who are associated with the, what is that?
Ursa Major?
Yeah, Ursa Major. No, not Milky Way. Saptarshi is this. Seven stars.
The Big Dipper. Right?
Big Dipper, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes. And Chatvaro and the Kumaras, they're all born from me, from my mind. And everyone else comes from them. So it's another way of saying that Krishna is the origin of everything. Seven sages, then the Kumaras. And the Manus, Manavastata. So 14 Manus, then four sages, that's 18, and seven more, so it's 25. I think they messed up the original arithmetic.
Fourteen Manus.
No, they got the arithmetic right.
You know that he says they come from his mind, but you know they came from Brahma's mind.
But Brahma came from Krishna's mind. Everything is originally coming from the mind of Krishna. Okay. Yes?
Just a technical question. When there are 14 manas, in a day of, or in a life of?
Day of Brahma.
14 in a day of Brahma. And then one Indra in the day of Brahma. Or how many?
No. They change. The whole administration changes in each Manvantara. That's explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. Someone becomes the Indra, someone else becomes the seven sages, someone else becomes this, someone else becomes that. You know, it's like every 4 years they change the government. So it's like that. The whole government is changed. The sages change, Indra changes, along with the manus.
Like 14 manus and 14 Indras are...
Every 45 minutes.
Huh?
Every 45 minutes.
Yeah, they only get it. Famous for 25 minutes. Any questions further? Yes.
Who are the seven sages exactly? What are they doing?
What are they doing?
Who are they?
Oh, there's like Bhrigu and there are seven big sages. I don't even remember. I don't know actually which are which. They're probably, if you were properly got a proper Vedic education, you can rattle off the names of these seven sages. But I'm not sure which munis there are. Bhrigu, Vashishta, like that. There's some big names.
Yeah, and the
big name rishis.
Yeah, and the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yeah.
Kashyapa is also one.
Huh?
Kashyapa is one of them, no?
Who?
Kashyapa
Muni?
Yeah.
I just don't know which are the seven.
That's for the gotras.
Huh?
When you say what gotra you
Let's see. Yeah, right. Those are traces back there. Let's see if Ishram of comments tells us who the seven sages are. Okay, Bhrigu, Marichi, Atri, Pulastya, Pulaha, Kratu, and Vashishta. There you are. In case you were wondering who the seven sages are, wonder no longer. Bhrigu, Marichi, Atri, Pulastya, Pulaha, Kratu, and Vashishta.
They are preaching or devotees or what are they doing?
They're philosophers, they're sages. Maharishi, they're great philosophers.
Sons of Brahma?
Yeah.
But they also change.
They all change. They all change. Nobody stays.
It's kind of like another Da Vinci thing.
Excuse
it's
me?
Like Leonardo Da Vinci, like
all these. Leonardo Da Vinci?
No, yeah. Not Leonardo Da Vinci. Like the philosophers.
No, not like Leonardo Da Vinci. A lot deeper philosophically. You know, if you want to think of a philosopher, Socrates is a philosopher, but he's small time compared to these philosophers.
Okay, sure.
All right, we're moving on. Etam vibhutim yogam cha mama yo veti tatvataha sa vikalpena yogena yujyate natra sanshayaha. One who's etam vibhutim, these are my opulences, my specific powers, and one who knows them factually as my power, sa avikalpena, without the undivided understanding, engages in avikalpena yogena, undivided devotional service. Yujyate, he engages. Natra sanshayaha. Simple. There's, if you know how great he is, then you'll serve him. There's some songs like that, different songs depending what decade you come from. You know, if you knew my girlfriend or you knew my boyfriend, you know, if you just knew about him, you'd love him also, or you'd love her also, right? This, you know, if you just, let me tell you about him, and then you say, wow, you know, sounds like you got a great guy there, you know.
To know her is to love her.
Yeah, to know her is to love her, you know. There's the same theme comes up decade after decade, you know, different songs, you know, same old themes get reprocessed. But the idea is, of course, mundane, but it applies spiritually also. That, just like Rukmini, she was hearing about Krishna, because Narad Muni used to visit her father's palace now and then, so naturally he'd talk about Krishna, and just by hearing, Krishna's like this, Krishna's like that, oh, I want to marry him. Just by hearing. You know, just like, you know, I have a boy I'd like you to meet. Oh, really? I'm not very interested. Well, you know, this boy you want to hear, I mean, he's rich, his father's a millionaire, he's been, you know, he's got 7 degrees from Harvard University, he's, you know, oh, is he handsome? And really, tell me more. Huh?
All-star football player.
Yeah, all-star football player, and, you know, and he's an artist, and he's a this, and he's that, you know. Really? And he wants to meet me?
I do.
Yeah, exactly. So naturally, it's like that. We, by hearing about a person's good qualities, we become interested. We think, oh, I want to be, you know, that sounds like somebody I'd want to know. So here, this is what happens. When we know about the glories of Krishna, and specifically the vibhutis of Krishna described in this chapter, then we'll think, I want to serve Krishna. He's so great, so wonderful. Let me serve him.
So this unalloyed mean?
Unalloyed means like a metal. If it's 100% gold, that's unalloyed. If they put a little tin or a little copper or a little something else, that's called an alloy. No, not 100% pure. Unalloyed means, just like unalloyed steel means it's just steel. They didn't put any tin in it, they didn't put any copper, they
pure.
Didn't...
Hmm?
Pure, 100%, nothing else in it. We don't put anything in your juice, but pure juice. You know, no preservatives, no additives. That's unalloyed.
Alloyed means
water to the milk.
Yeah, no water in the milk. It's
contaminated.
100% the real thing. Okay. The next 4 verses are called Chaturshloki Gita. As we've been studying in the morning, Chaturshloki Bhagavat. So this is Chaturshloki Gita, 4 essential verses of Bhagavad Gita. But we're not going to talk about them today because we're going to run out of time. We're not going to get very far. But these 4 verses are essential verses. Aham sarvasya prabhavo mata sarvam pravartate. Kimata bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha machchita madgata prana bodhyanta parasparam katyantascha mam nityam tushanti cha ramanti cha tesham satyajukta nam bhajitam pritipurvakam nani buddhi yogam tam yenamam upyanti te tesham artam amagyana jam tamaha Nashyam Yatma Pavasto, Yana Deepena Paspata. These are the essential, 4 essential verses. So much to be understood in these verses of Bhagavad Gita. Any last question before we go? Okay, I'll let you guys off 1.5 minutes early. Hare Krishna, all glory to Shri Prabhupada. Jai 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 Karma Yoga and Karma Mishra Bhakti. But of course, the Prabhupada uses these terms differently on different occasions. Karma Yoga is sometimes understood to be Karma Mishra Bhakti. Sometimes Prabhupada uses Karma Yoga as Karma Mishra Bhakti, sometimes he uses it as devotional service. Nishkam Karma Yoga. There's also Sakama Karma Yoga.
There's a sloka on Ekadashi, Dashashi. That's like Karma Yoga, right?
Let me take them that way.
And then Pashram Pushpam Palam Tuyam, that's pure bhakti.
Devotees, only devotees can select Ashtanga Yoga. And so when we write the essay, because
I'm not also confused about that. But
I'm not going to help with your essay question.
Do you explain both of them separately, or do you just add them?
But only devotees can be similar to that.
Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Deva Shanta.
Show you where gets
Bhakti Mukti Siddhi Kami Sakala Shanta. Krishna Bhakta Nishkama Deva Shanta.
So the others are Sakama.
This answered all the questions. This is referred to the chart on page 64.
Thank you. Who belongs?
As explained in the chart.
It's just Ashtanga, they don't say
it. Yeah, it's Jhanas.
And at the very beginning, Mara Samaj performs Kama Yoga, so predominantly the karma is stronger. It's like because at the very beginning of the
karma, to be himself.
Usually, to pure devotion is the culmination.
But if you realize that
you can throw the names around, even depending on your frame of reference.
Even if you realize that you're not the body,
yeah,
but still bhakti yoga is actually surrender.
Right. Right.
And then the process of the jhanis, how come?
And you can get Brahman realization.